and gentlemen, welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Okay, before we get started, Mike, I would like to give a shout out to CFL Edits on Twitter for the pretty cool, I don't know what you'd call it, artwork, I guess, for the podcast. Mm-hmm. When you go on iTunes or to click the link, you see that picture of Zach Kolaros with all the cool designs behind it. CFL Edits on Twitter did that for us, and I said to give him a little shout out at the start of the second podcast. Because I forgot to do it for the first one.
Oh, that's nice. He does some good work over there. I'll follow him on Twitter.
He does indeed. He does indeed. So let's just jump right into this, and let's start with what has happened since we last met, which was early January. Tons of players.
A lot.
We have seen three big trades. We had the Ottawa trade kicks it all off when Mo Price was traded from Calgary to Ottawa for Jasper Simmons. Then we got the blockbuster trade that happened on my birthday when Fred Stamps was traded to Montreal, which surprised me. And then we had the really, really big one to cap it all off when the Riders traded Ricky Foley, the York attendee, as myself and Mark like to call him, for Shea Emery. And Foley had just signed a contract extension in what, mid-December? Just before Christmas, just after Christmas, and they deal him basically a month later. That was pretty surprising. What's your take on these three trades?
Well, I'll start with the Edmonton trade, my Edmonton-Montreal trade. I like this trade for Edmonton, actually, because, you know, Kenny Stafford is a young guy. I think he's 25 years old, 6'3". I looked into his pro day. He had in 2013. He ran a 4.37, so he's got good speed for a big guy. He's young, and he's tall. So I think that the Eskimos have a good chance of winning this trade, you might say, but you know, in the long run, and Montreal might win it in the short term. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Stamps is definitely going to be the guy that fills in for Daron Carter. I think they needed a second receiver. Losing Carter to Indianapolis. Is that where he ended up signing with the Colts?
Yeah. I think he just signed yesterday with Indy.
Yeah. He is not coming back to the CFL. So Montreal had to get something. I like Stafford as well. I think he has a lot of potential upside. So yeah, like you said, long-term, I think Edmonton might pull this one out, but adding Stamps does kind of make, Montreal maybe a little bit more of a factor in the East Division next season. Maybe they don't get out to such a slow start, and they might even be the team to beat. Sticking with the East, what do you think of the Mo Price trade?
I like it. I like it for both teams, actually. You know, Price, you know what Price is going to give when he's in there. The only problem is, you know, he gets injured a lot, but if he can stay healthy, I mean, he's a big play receiver. He's got a lot of speed. He catches the ball well. The only problem is, you know, he tends to fumble a bit, but, you know, he can try to fix that. But and Calgary gets, you know, the top receiver or top defensive player last year for Ottawa with Simmons. So I think both teams really did well in this trade. I think it's going to help them both be better next year.
I think given recent sort of the recent news that SJ Green is staying in Montreal and Weston Dressler is staying in Saskatchewan, I think the trade looks even better for Ottawa now because they needed a receiver. They did not have a go-to receiver last year. Marcus Henry is a good player, but he's not a number one. Mo Price, if he stays healthy, can be a 1,200-1,300-yard, 10-touchdown receiver, I think. And instead of waiting and in the hopes that they could sign SJ Green or Weston Dressler or even a Luke Tasker, they went out and were proactive and made a move to get a guy, even if they had to give up the guy who was their most outstanding player nominee last year. If they would have waited and not traded for Price, they would have been shut out at receiver. Like there's not a number one receiver left now in the free agent pool with all the recent signings. So I really like the deal from, and I did at the time, from Ottawa's perspective. I don't dislike it from Calgary's. Calgary, as far as I'm concerned, until they make a wrong move, I'm not going to doubt what they do.
Yeah, and they're stacked at receivers, so you know they
Yes,
got a
they
lot
are.
of depth. A lot of depth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the third big deal, the Canadian swap, Foley for Emery. What do you like about that one? What do you dislike about that one?
I like, once again, I like it for both teams. I mean, they both fill a hole that they needed. You know, with the Argos, they get rid of Emery, but they have Greenwood to fill in for him now. So, and he's ready to go. You know, he was with the Chiefs for 4 years or whatever it was. So I like it for the Argos. And, you know, the Riders get, they were weak at linebacker, so they get Emery. I mean, he's two pretty dirty players traded for each other, but you know, that's besides the point. But I like it for both teams again.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. I've make no bones about the fact that I am not a Ricky Foley fan. I'm not much of a Shamri fan either. Like you said, dirty players. But I think given what Saskatchewan had to do this offseason with the number of star free agents they had available or potentially available, to re-sign Foley and then deal him at an area of strength, I think the Riders' D-line is pretty good. So to get rid of him and to get a Canadian at a position where a Canadian usually doesn't play helps with their ratio a little bit. And Emery is, I believe, 4 years younger. I think he's 29, Foley's 33. So they get younger. They get a guy who's on a longer-term contract, so he will be around for a lot longer. I'm curious as to what Foley returning to Toronto is going to do. We all know that he wasn't all that enamored with the team when he left. And he's, at least from my viewpoint, sometimes has the attitude of a petulant baby. So we'll see what he does in Toronto.
Yeah, I thought he was a perfect fit in Ryderville too, you know. I mean, the fans there sure seem to love him. And
as much as I disliked the guy, he actually played well there. He had a lot of big games, so his numbers are a bit skewed. Like he had like three or four sacks against Hamilton in the opener. I think he had another three-sack game. So like six or seven of his – I think he had 12 total in 2014 came from just two or three games. But he did play well there, and it helps that he was surrounded by a lot of talented players, Terrius George and John Chick, take a lot of pressure off him, so he was able to make plays.
Exactly.
I touched upon a little bit earlier, but the guys that came off the board in free agency just in the last, what, less than a week? SJ Green re-signed in Montreal. Yeah. Weston Dressler re-signed in Saskatchewan. We got Luke Tasker in under contract here in Hamilton, and Odell Willis stayed in Edmonton. Tyrone Brackenridge also re-upped with the Riders.
I really like what Montreal's been doing. I mean, it's been pretty damn impressive. They signed 12 of their 19 free agents already, with names like Green, Cox, Woods, Brown, Sutton. I mean, Jim Pop's doing pretty well over there this offseason so far.
Yeah, I got to think that they won't be much of a – they won't be looking after big-name guys once the market opens. But, yeah, they got a lot of their solid players back. And really the only question I have for Montreal then going into next season is quarterback play. Their defense is still going to be good. They got Stamps to replace Carter. And they brought Green back. So it's really just a matter of can Crompton develop. And if so, they might end Hamilton's two-year reign atop the East Division.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried, actually, about Montreal coming back strong. And I just don't know. I don't know what to expect from the Argos next year, really. And Ottawa, for that matter. I mean, I think Montreal and Hamilton will probably – I mean, it's way too early to speculate. But as of this point, I think they're the two front runners in the East, if I had to bet on it right now.
Yeah, if I was putting money down, I would say we're getting a repeat of the East Division Final.
Yeah.
Once again in 2015. So let's talk a little bit about free agency. All those big name guys are off the board, but it's not a barren class of free agents. who are some of the top guys you like that are still left on the board?
Well, I got five here. It's Speedy B, Justin Hickman, Ernest Jackson, and a little bit off the board here because he is free, Chris Williams and Jeff Tisdale. Who do you got?
Banks, absolutely. Hickman and Jackson as well. I didn't really think of Williams, although I probably should have. I did write an article about him about a month ago after we did our free – Mark, Eric, and I did our free agent previews, and I realized that no one had talked about the fact that it's possible he could be back. If he decides to return, he is the top, without a doubt, the top free agent available. He is a great returner and a phenomenal receiver, and I think teams would trip over themselves to try to bring him onto their squad. Ottawa, especially. If Ottawa had a starting lineup, receiving lineup of Williams, Price, and Marcus Henry, add in a couple Canadian players, that is an explosive offense just waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
But two guys that I brought out, Brent Jones, if he does not sign with the NFL, he was rookie of the year in 2013, and he was the top lineman last year. He's obviously the best offensive lineman in the league. So if he's available, I think teams would want him. And a guy I really like out of Saskatchewan is Brian Peters. I thought he played really well last season. He, I believe, was tied with Simone Lawrence for fifth in the league in tackles. I think Saskatchewan would do well to bring him in. I think a pairing of him and Emery would be really well. But if he hits the market, I think he's a guy that could really, really, really help the teams in need of linebacking help.
Yeah, I like that pick. That's a little under-the-radar pick. He played well last year for sure. He was on the Monkey Fish Frogs fantasy team, so I'm a fan of him. And what was I going to say? Have you heard anything about Ernest Jackson getting NFL looks? Or
probably about the same as you. I've heard he's tried out for teams. But obviously no contract has been signed yet. With the way that teams are releasing players out of their deals to sign in the NFL, I would think sooner rather than later, we would know something about him. I think he would be a great addition to any team. I think he'd be a really good fit in Hamilton. I just like the way he played. He came on at the end of last season. I believe he was offensive player of the month in October. So that shows me that he progressed as the season went on, and he could be a top target for sure for teams, and I would really like to see him in black and gold.
I would love that too. Now, who do you think we should bring back for receivers that are going to be free agents? Because as you said earlier, I mean, the receivers are drying up on the free agent market, so I think we need to sign a couple of our own here. You know what I mean? I'd like to see Banks back. I mean, not Banks. Bakari Grant, sorry. I mean, he's been with the team for a while now. He's a good receiver and, 6'4" or 6'3" or whatever he is. I mean, we need to bring back a couple of receivers here. Maybe even Jaguar, but I don't think that's going to happen. But who do you think we should bring back in receivers?
Grant, for sure. I'm a big fan of Bakari Grant's.
Yeah.
He sits out the final game of 2013. If he doesn't do that, he eclipses 1,000 yards receiving. He's just a solid, dependable veteran player. He's the kind of guy that he's not going to be flashy. He's not going to take it 80 yards to the house. He's not Brandon Banks, who I also would really like to see back here. I really like him. I wouldn't mind Jaguar coming back either. I'm sure you read Mark's piece on Jaguar and where he stands amongst Canadian receivers. It was really eye-opening for me.
Me too.
I know he wasn't exactly given the chance to really excel statistically. But when thrust into a role when Fantuz is hurt, I like what he brings to the table, and I think he gets paid more elsewhere. I think again, Ottawa is a reasonable landing spot for him. Seems like we're sending everyone to Ottawa, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But Ottawa seems like a reasonable landing spot for him. The bilingual factor will probably play into that a little bit too. He can probably get starters money in Ottawa, and he probably won't get that in Hamilton. But I think there's some, like, there, again, if you look at, we didn't know who Brandon Banks was 2 years ago. We didn't know who Chris Williams was a year before he exploded onto the scene. I think the team can do well to find receiving replacements south of the border if we don't end up bringing a lot of guys in the receiving core back. I mean, Tasker's back, Fantuz is back. There's still Sinkfield is still here. Kerry Cope.
Ellingson is free, isn't he?
Ellingson will be free. I don't want to say again that we're going to send someone to Ottawa, but him going to Ottawa makes sense. I don't see Ellingson back. I think he'll look elsewhere because I think he'll get more of an opportunity somewhere else. But if we're just talking about guys that were Hamilton receivers to bring back, the top of the list is definitely Bakari Grant and Brandon Banks, because Brandon Banks he's a returner, but he also was a receiver. So I would really like to see Banks back here. Are there any other Ticats free agents that you think the team needs to really look in hard at bringing back?
I don't think. Oh, of course, Hickman. I mean, he's a big part of he'd be great to bring back, but I'm sure he's going to get a lot of offers on the free agent market. So, but do you think there's any chance that he goes back to the NFL, or do you think that window's closed?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't really answer that question. I would think that the reason he hasn't re-signed here is either money or an NFL opportunity. So given that we're, as we record this, about a week out, actually exactly a week out, it's the 10th that free agency opens. So we're a week out from when the market opens. It is a little surprising that he's not here. Now, Austin did say in his press conference when Tasker re-signed that there was still a lot of work to do. So maybe in the next 7 days, we're going to see a lot of these names. Your Justin Hickmans, your Brandon Bankses, your Taylor Reeds are re-signed and brought back, and then this will all look foolish because we opened our mouths before things were ready to go.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
So looking, so let's stick with free agents a little bit. Are there any guys out there that you think might be sort of sleeper players, not guys that aren't getting a lot of publicity, guys that you're under the radar guys, your guys that you bring in and they end up really helping your team, but they weren't guys that you held ticker tape parades for when they signed on the 14th of February?
Well, Tisdale isn't getting a lot of love. I mean, I think he's 29 now. He seems like he's been in the league forever, eh?
It does. It seems like every year it seems like Jeff, I would have figured he was in his mid-30s, to be perfectly
honest. Yeah, me too. Cornerback, he still has some good years left in him. I think he could be a good addition to any team looking for a cornerback. What are some of the names you have?
Two guys that I think are sort of not getting as much publicity as they should. And again, it's another guy I think is going to Ottawa. Brad Sinopoli. I think he has really started to develop as a receiver. I think he would be a good addition, sort of maybe fill that fifth wide receiver role where you don't have to give him a ton, but he can still make plays if need be. And he fills a Canadian requirement, which is always nice. And I think if Brandon Banks returns to the CFL and signs elsewhere or stays in Hamilton or whatever he decides to do, a guy that you can fill his role, but will probably come a lot cheaper, is Kendall Lawrence. He once played here. He played phenomenally on special teams in Edmonton last season. He he's not someone that people are really all that excited about, but I think if you bring him into your club, you've got a speedster and a game breaker on your hands with Kendall Lawrence.
Yeah, and he played well in the offense last year for the S too.
Yeah, filling in sometimes for John White.
I like him as well. He does have an abundance of speed, and I don't know. I guess the running backs are dime a dozen these days, they say, but if you can find a good one, I mean, sign him up. I don't know how he is in the blocking schemes and all that, but he, like you said, he's a game breaker for sure.
Speaking of running backs, this guy just popped into my head. He's a guy who was a division all-star last year, was a member of the East Division champions, and no one is talking about Nick Grigsby.
Yes.
I know people in Winnipeg are not all that enamored with him because of the way he exited the team, but when he came here and got comfortable in the offense, I really liked what I saw of him. He's a strong downhill runner. I would like to see him back in Hamilton. I think it's unlikely with CJ Gable still under contract and Moses Madu still here. I think Grigsby signs elsewhere, but I think he'd be a good fit for a lot of teams. I'm not sure where he would work. Maybe Toronto. They don't really have a stable running back. Steve Slayton's still there.
Steel.
Yeah, Curtis Steele. It's not like they have the go-to guy like Hamilton has with Gable or Calgary has with Cornish and BC has with Harris. So I'm not sure where Grigsby fits in, but I think he could be a guy that maybe we're not talking enough about.
Yeah, I like Grigsby too. He fits the system in Hamilton. I mean, like you said, he's a hard runner. And he's a great blocker, like Gable is. I would love to see him back in Hamilton. I think it'd be a great 1-2 combo with Gable, and give Gable a little bit of rest so he doesn't get hurt again. But I think I agree that Toronto could be a good spot for him. I mean, I think it'd be an upgrade over whoever they have now, Slayton or Steele.
And as a blocking back, as a guy who can block, that would keep Ricky Ray healthy, which is, as we all know, paramount to Toronto's success. With Zach Collaros now very much gone out of Toronto, I'm here in Hamilton. Very happy to have him here, by the way. They need Ray healthy. Their quarterback. I know Argo fans and some observers really like Trevor Harris, but without Ray, that team. He kept him afloat last year when he lost Andre Drury and Chad Owens. Like, they brought Maurice Mann out of retirement, essentially, to fill a role because they had no receivers. So getting a back like Grigsby in there who excels at pass blocking, I think would be a smart move by Toronto. As much as I hate the idea of them upgrading their team in any way at all, bringing him in would probably be a really, really, really smart move.
Absolutely. I anything to keep Ray healthy if I'm the Argos, gotta do it. Gotta do it.
All right. What do you think? Should we go into some reader questions now?
All righty, just give me a second here.
Well, I'll throw one out to you on the comment section of the last podcast. A commenter named Pete Peters sent in a ton of questions. I looked at them and I found two that I thought were really, really good. We'll start with, will the Grey Cup be in Hamilton in the next 2 years? I assume he means 2016 or 2017. What do you think?
Boy, I'd love it to be. I mean, it's been way too long since Hamilton had a Grey Cup. I thought that was the plan. Get the new stadium and then soon after get a Grey Cup. I don't know if they can commit to it yet because the stadium isn't fully done yet. So, I heard that rumbling that John Tory said on the radio that Toronto was getting the 2016 Grey Cup and then he took it back. So I don't know what that's about, but I certainly hope they get a Grey Cup in 2016, and then in 2017 goes to Ottawa, which would make sense for the 150th anniversary of Canada. So
Yeah, 2017 in Ottawa to me is a no-brainer. We're celebrating the sesquicentennial of this country, and to put the Grey Cup in there. And that's it. And the Grey Cup's at the end of the year, so it sort of be like a cap off to all the hoopla that should be in Ottawa in 2017. That's a no-brainer. And I would have said 2016 in Hamilton is a no-brainer until I heard Tory's comments. And then seeing some comments from others, like I believe it was Steve Milton that said 2016 would be the last opportunity to have a Grey Cup at the Sky Dome with, you know, 55,000 or whatever, however many seats that stadium holds when at capacity. I think 2016 in Toronto makes a heck of a lot of sense, even though it was just there in 2012. So I'm not sure if Hamilton will host within those two seasons. And if they don't, I think we might be looking at 2019 before Hamilton hosts one, because I don't think they'll stay in the East 3 years in a row. I don't think it'll be Toronto in 2016, Ottawa in 2017, Hamilton in 2018. I think they're going to want to push it somewhere out west. Maybe Edmonton. I can't recall the last time Edmonton hosted the Grey Cup.
That was 2010, I think.
It was 2010?
The second year the Riders and Alouettes played.
Okay.
I believe so.
So 20, it'll be 8 years since Edmonton's hosted one, if they get in 2018. And I know it's been 96. It's been 19 years now since Hamilton hosted one, but we didn't have the stadium to do it anyway. So I think pushing it to – I think 2019 is the absolute latest we will see a Grey Cup in Hamilton. And that's only if 2016 goes to Toronto. If 2016 goes anywhere else – like we have Winnipeg this year. If 2016 is either it's not here or Toronto, say it's Calgary or Edmonton even, then I think 2018 is the absolute latest. But I don't think John Tory was saying things he didn't probably already know. Yeah. So I think 2016 in Toronto is something we should seriously consider. And like I said, if that's the case, 2019, that's when we'll finally have one back in the hammer.
Yeah, and if it's in Toronto, I mean, for people that are in the Hamilton area, it's you know, pretty damn close. So
it's the same thing. I went to the 2012 Grey Cup because of how close it was. So it's not that big a deal.
All right, I got a question from USFL Tecmo on Twitter. Who is the CFL free agent to be vastly overpaid?
Well, I think most free agents tend to be overpaid just by the nature of supply and demand. They get out there and teams bid against one another to try to bring someone in. And as much as I, you know, talked him up just a few minutes ago, I'm going to say it's Sam Giguere. Based on what he has put out so far, he is not going to be worth the type of money that he's probably going to make. He might be able to live up to that money. But he's going to get six figures. He's going to get a decent paycheck from whoever signs him next week. And I think he's the one guy, because he's Canadian, because he's a receiver, because the skills, he's such a tantalizing player. He's strong. He's fast. My pick would be Sam Giguere.
Yeah. I'm going to go with someone who already signed a contract, SJ Green.
Really?
And yes, I know. I might be crazy, but he didn't impress me last year throughout the whole season. He didn't impress me. He dropped more balls than he ever has in the regular season. He had very strong playoffs. I will give you that. And that's probably one of the reasons why he got, you know, reportedly $250,000 a year to sign with Montreal, but I just think that's a little too much for him. Even though he is one of the best receivers in the league, if he has a season like he did last year, I think he's overpaid.
Fair enough. All right, Mr. Pete Peters also added another question. This is a two-parter, so we'll give you both questions and then we'll delve into the answers. How long will Kent Austin stay in Hamilton, and will he give up one of his roles anytime soon?
Well, I think he stays in Hamilton for as long as he wants to. I see success in the future for the Ticats. I don't see us, you know, falling back anytime soon. I think it's his job as long as he wants it, you know, as long as stuff doesn't go to the shitter. I mean, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. And for the GM and coach duties and all that, I don't see him giving any of that up anytime soon either, because that was one of the reasons that he came back to the CFL, is he had total control over the Ticats. So he's going to be around for a while, and I love it.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Like you said, he's here until he decides he doesn't want to be here. And he is the GM, coach, football operations, czar, so whatever you want to call him. Yeah, he is. He can have whatever job in the organization he wants for as long as he wants it. The resume speaks for itself. Two years here, two Grey Cup appearances. Yeah, sure, the Ticats haven't won one. But they hadn't been to one before he got here for nearly a decade and a half. So as long as he decides this is the place he wants to be, and I, and from all the things that I see of him, I look, I don't know him personally, obviously. I don't interact with him at all, but just the way he seems to truly, truly like being here. I think this is the situation he wanted. Like you said, he got total control of the team. It's his team. He's built this team the way he wants it. He's going to continue to build this team the way he wants it. And I don't see him relinquishing control of any of that or even contemplating leaving Hamilton anytime soon. He's still a pretty young man. He's in his 50s. This is not a John Huffnagel situation where he got a head coaching job like later in his life. So I, again, like you said, we couldn't be in more agreement on this. Austin's here for until he decides, no, I'm done and I want to leave.
And it's nice that, you know, Bob Young regime finally got it right with the coaches and the, you know, pulling it together after so many attempts at bringing in guys that didn't really work out. You know, I'm a big Bob Young fan, and I'm just really happy for him that the team's on the right track. You know, I think that on the field, they're on the right track, and off the field, they're going to be on the right track very soon as well.
Obviously, we'll get called homers for this, but I don't think there's anyone. If you were to make people ingest some truth serum out there, I don't think there's anyone out there who follows the CFL that does not want to see Bob Young succeed and finally win a Grey Cup.
They're out there, Josh. Out there.
They're fooling themselves. They're lying to them. They want to be a heel then, because there's no one who has sacrificed more. You know what? There'd be no Hamilton Ticats without Bob Young. So as far as I'm concerned, he can do whatever he pleases. He has built up more than enough goodwill with myself and most Ticats fans, and I think fans around the league would really like to see him finally get his team that championship that has just eluded them for so, so long.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Oski Eddie wants to know, of the remaining free agents other than Ticats, who would you like to see sign here? I guess we kind of went through that earlier, but what do you think?
Good question. He's a guy that you brought up on the last podcast, actually, as a potential signee, which if we go back and ever listen to that, we were so wrong on the guys we were bringing in here.
I know.
So many of them have signed in the NFL or re-signed with their teams. We look like complete idiots. Stanley Bryant out of Calgary. I think he could be a really good offensive lineman for the Cats. I don't think Hamilton needs to make a lot of big moves in free agency. I know they will. I didn't think they need to make any big moves last year, and they brought in Craig Butler and they brought in and some big name guys. I think it's minor tweaks, and I think bringing in Bryant to maybe even just to compete for a job. I know he's probably going to get starters money, but if you just bring him in to compete, just anything to make the offensive line better. I think the offensive line, like, we've gone over how there's not a whole ton of big name free agents left. So if I was to pick a guy, Stanley Bryant would be the guy to bring in.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, actually. That's the number one concern I have is the O-line for next year. And you're seeing a lot of Canadian offensive linemen getting chances in the NFL now, and that hurts, you know. I mean, I'm happy for them getting a chance down there, but you know, we need our top-notch Canadian offensive linemen up here, and I'd love to see, you know, Ben Heenan and Brett Jones stick around in the CFL, but we shall see. All right. Hammy Hole on Twitter. Who's the attorneys from last year to be signed and who walks?
Well, I think the big one that's going to leave is Giguère. I think he's going to find. We've already touched on it, but yeah, he's the guy that's going to leave. The returnees. Well, if we were to take Twitter for our news and views and what have you, Bakari Granson had a really interesting tweet a few days ago about how he can't wait to get back with his team and something along those lines. We could read into that if we want to. That might mean that he's returning. Just this morning, I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and saw that Brandon Banks had mentioned possibly being in Toronto. That did cause a few, one notable Ticat fan that you and I both know, Oski Eddie, to immediately jump in and go, "Oh my God, are you signing with the Argos?" Banks assured him that
That's a
he was
no.
not. He assured him he
Yeah.
was not. He said he was not signing with the Argos. 10 days out, or sorry, 7 days out from free agency. Perhaps he is in Toronto because he's about to be in Hamilton to sign a contract extension himself. Which, if that happens, you're going to see the Ticat Twitter sphere and blogosphere and all the forums. They're going to explode with people thought that they were happy Luke Tasker was back. If Brandon Banks comes back, people are going to go crazy.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
if I was to say of the remaining free agents left, based on things that they have maybe slyly put out there, and again, maybe reading too much into it, I think Banks and Grant are back, and Giguère is elsewhere.
I'm going to say that I think Hickman will be back too. You know, if he doesn't sign in the NFL, if he's in the CFL, he's with the Ticats. I feel the same way about Banks. If he's not in the NFL, he's with the Ticats. And I really hope that Grant's back too as well. All right, next question is from Major League CFL, and this one's for you, Josh. How long have you had the beard? Have you always had it?
Well, I wasn't born with one, so I haven't always had it.
Didn't pop out of the womb with it?
I did not. I know I look like a lumberjack, but I wasn't born a lumberjack. I can tell you the exact date that I started growing it. December 1st, 2010. I did the Movember in 2010. Actually, there's an interesting picture, me with a very, very terrible mustache. At the 2010 East Division semifinal, me, my brother, my cousin, some friends, we all went to the game because it was here. The game where they lost to the team that we shall not name.
And the person we shall not name that tried to
They tried to
injure.
cripple Kevin Glenn.
Yes.
Well, prior to the game, there was a little bit of a like a pre-party. And like a tailgate sort of thing at Brian Timmis Field, and we all met Bob Young, and there was a picture taken of us with Bob Young, and I have got the stupid mustache. And after that, I decided
Stupid mustaches are the best mustaches.
it's not even impressive. It's terrible. Maybe if I can find the picture, I will maybe I'll post it with this episode of the podcast on there, and people can laugh at my stupid smile and dumb mustache. But following that, after Movember was over, I shaved my face, and that is the last time I have ever put a razor to my face. I trim the beard every now and then, but we're going on 5 years, or we just passed 4 years, so this is the fifth year that I will have had a beard. And to be quite honest with you, I doubt it's ever going away.
I don't know how you do it, man. I get too itchy.
You got to get past the first couple of weeks. You get
Yeah.
past like say the first month. And the itchiness goes away. I don't ever trim it in the winter because it's a nice scarf. So I don't have to actually own a scarf.
That's good. That's a good
But
thing.
it gets to pretty ridiculous proportions by the end of March, beginning of April. So I prefer it in the summer when I can keep it nice and trim, keep my face at least relatively cool.
Do you comb the beard?
I give it a quick comb every morning, just because you lie on it and it like, you know when you get bed head? Well, you get beard face. So you got to comb it out a little bit. I wash it every other day, and wash it with like shampoo and soap, but every day I'm at least wetting it and getting like any crumbs that are in it out of there. But yeah, I comb it. Yeah, every day, and then like I'll go do like a long, long comb, like maybe once a week or once every other week, because you get a lot of dead hairs in there, and like you're combing it out, and you just see all the hairs lying on like. Just on my like wherever I'm doing it, like off, whether it's on my lap or on the table or whatnot, and it's just, yeah, you gotta. It's. I grew it because I hated shaving, but I think I put more work into upkeep with this than I did when I was shaving. But it's part of me now, and it ain't going anywhere.
There you go, people.
So there you
All
go.
right. Next, go ahead. Sorry.
You got something you want to say?
I was just going to read the next question if you want to add
Oh,
on
you
to
got
the
another
beard
question? All right, throw it
convo.
out there.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. All right. B Broom CFL on Twitter. Our boy in Florida. Predictions on the coaching staff for 2015. And I'm just going to say it's going to be the same. What do you think?
The Ticats coaching staff, you mean?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I don't really see any changes. Maybe, like. I no, you know what? I don't see any changes. I don't know enough about the inner workings of the coaching staff, but like your head coach isn't going anywhere, your defensive coordinator's not going anywhere, your special teams coordinator's not going anywhere, your offensive coordinator's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they bring in an assistant or two or makes but any sort of like big changes? No, we're seeing the same group we saw last year and the year before.
Yeah, we're set. We're set for that, I'd say. Great coaching staff.
It just it provides continuity. It continuity in players and continuity in coaching. Guys come back, they know what's going on, they know what's going to happen. It's just makes sense. It's the same group. They've been the back-to-back Grey Cups. Why would you? You're not going to make any major changes there.
Yeah, exactly. Another question from B Broom is this is kind of funny. Why is Austin's philosophy so closed? Yet other GMs and coaches in league seem to be more open in media scrums.
I don't really know how to answer that.
I know.
He
I think
definitely.
he's just a bit of a grumpy gross. And I love that. He takes his job seriously, and he's a little bit of a grouch with the media, but. I'm sure he's a great person outside of the media scrums, and with Cortez here for a year, the media and Hamilton got used to the grumpy gross scene because he was quite the grumpy guy.
I just see it as he doesn't seem to suffer fools gladly. You ask him a stupid question, he's going to give you a stupid answer. You ask him an intelligent question, he's going to engage you. I just think that's kind of funny that like after like Belfay seemed to be pretty open with the media, and then Cortez was just like shut off. Although we've heard other stories about how he's maybe he just wasn't as good with the media as he should have been, but you know what? He Austin can wear a shirt that says like F you on it for all I care as long as he keeps getting the Grey Cups.
Exactly. I'd rather have him being, kind of off-puttish with the media than some guy who's super open to the media and losing games, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it for Twitter questions.
I guess that means that's it for the episode. Number two in the can. Free agency is about to start, folks. Get excited. We'll be back in a few weeks to a month to discuss all the happenings of the free agency period. Maybe a few trades. Who knows what's going to go down? I'm sure something as soon as we finish recording and before I even post this, I'm sure 14 guys will sign. There'll be six trades, and everything we just said will be completely pointless, and we'll look like idiots for a second month in a row.
Well, that's the way it goes. You put your opinions out there, and you're gonna get called an idiot.
Exactly. Well, For this idiot, I'm Josh Smith.
And this idiot, I'm Mike Graham.
All right, eat 'em raw, everybody.
Eat 'em raw.